Hello and welcome to Multiform. Every week we get together to talk Xbox news, rumors, and games we've been playing. New episodes post every Monday morning. You can email the show, questions@multiformpodcast.com. This is episode 215. I'm Tim Shelton, and I'm joined, as always, mostly by Spencer Rain.
Struggled there a little bit, Tim.
I'm just mixing it up.
Forgot what you were supposed to say. It's all right.
Yeah, well, when you've done something 200 times.
Yeah, there's bound to be mistakes.
And Gus Harden.
Hello.
Let's see where to start this week.
I always think Gus is Lionel Richie when he does that. His hello. Hello. It's me you're looking for.
And that, for whatever, always reminds me of that Gifts with Sound YouTube video.
OG, like, yeah. Meme video from like 10 years ago.
Really?
It's classic. Yeah.
Hello makes me think of Adele.
Well,
or
sorry
the
to hear that.
Hello darkness my old friend. Which I sing that little bit a lot when something funny happens that I want to.
Good old Simon and Garfunkel / Disturbed.
Well,
Disturbed version arguably better.
Or in the Xbox world, the famous Mad World trailer for Gears of War 2. Was it 2?
Yeah, I think it was Gears of War 2. Yeah,
man. I forget game. Gears exists. It's been what, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years since Gears 5?
Hasn't been. No, it's been 2019.
So three years.
I think
probably another two. We'll probably see a Gears 7, 6, whatever it is next. How do numbers work?
It just turned 3, actually. Yeah, 2 weeks ago, September 6th. There you go.
Really, really liked that game. Really did. So I hope the next one is just as good. Kind of wish, I don't want to go down that track. We're going to get into Halo and Gears a little bit in the news anyway. Okay, let's talk about what we've been playing. I'm going to rattle off mine really quick because, I don't know, because I'm the host and I can do what I want. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 open beta. I played some more of that. I don't know why, but Call of Duty multiplayer just doesn't really grab me anymore. Like, I'm more excited for Warzone 2 than I am for the regular multiplayer. I messed around with the gun customization a little bit, but you had to kind of unlock stuff. I used the new perk system. So remember how I was telling you guys about the new perk system? I got a little more clarity on how it works. So the perks unlock it on the tier 2 at 4 minutes and the tier 3 at 8 minutes, but you can reduce that time by scoring points in the match. So if it's like an objective match, you have to get points for objective capturing. If it's a deathmatch type match, you have to get points by getting kills. So you can earn your perks faster by being a better player. So in some ways, the perks kind of work like kill streaks, even though kill streaks are still in the game. So it's cool. I like that it's a iteration on the formula. The other thing I'm still playing, You Suck at Parking. This is that game, kind of like a arcadey challenging puzzle game that was dropped onto Game Pass a couple weeks ago. This game gets really hard really fast because you have to stay on the course, keep from exploding, and you can't hit the brakes. You have to keep moving because if you slow down, you either run out of gas or if you can't reverse. So the second you stop, you're done. And I finally, I don't know how many worlds I was in, 2 or 3, and I beat this one level and realized that I had been hitting the wrong button to reset. Because when your car flies off the edge, you can reset to put your car back at the beginning rather than waiting for it to reset automatically. And I had been hitting that button. Well, I was hitting the wrong button, and the button I was hitting was actually restart level. So I was erasing all of my successful cars I had already parked every single time I died. And so when I got to the end of the level and I got the really hard third parking spot on this level I'd been working on for a while, I had already gotten the two easier ones. I got the third one and then it didn't complete. And I was like, what's going on? And realized what I had been doing and that none of my progress was saved on that level. And I was just like, uninstall. I just straight up uninstalled it and I was done. Very challenging. It's the kids like to watch me play it, but I get angry playing it because it gets really hard on some of the levels later on. And then the two big things that I played this week are Stray. Gus, I finally beat Stray on PS5. Did you
talk
finish
about
it
a game
on PC?
That I need to keep playing? That I just have like it's like a little bit at a time, hardly even worth mentioning.
Yeah, my final like summary of the game is it's really really cool for like it makes being a cat really accessible and fun, and it has all the like little things about cats, like clawing at things and knocking things off shelves and all the stuff incorporated into the game in like solving puzzles. And
speaking of
and
clawing at things, my cat was just like going at my bed. Luckily I was muted.
You were. But by the end of the game, I didn't care about the story at all. It's all text-based. There's no dialogue in the game because you're a cat and your robot has to translate other robots for you. So you have to read. And which obviously I read, but it wasn't that compelling because there's no like emotion to it. It kind of felt robotic because the characters are all robots. So I didn't care about the story at all. So by the end of the game, I was just kind of like, okay, let's have this thing be over with. Now, it was a budget priced game. It was like $30 or $40. I don't remember what I paid for it. And it was only like 4 or 5 hours long. So I really did like it, but I wouldn't give it like a 9 or a 10 out of 10 if I was like doing a score system. The graphics were awesome. The gameplay was awesome. The story was just fine. And I don't know. I didn't find the ending super satisfying. If I cared about the story, maybe that would have greater impact. But because I really didn't, it was just like, it's over. That was a fun experience. So I do recommend it, but not for the story, for the gameplay. That would be the summary. And then finally, I've been playing a ton of Deathloop. It's finally here after a year of PlayStation exclusivity. Now, I could have played it on PC or PlayStation, but I just waited for it to come to Game Pass. And I'm kind of glad I did because obviously it's been patched. It has some DLC and the Golden Loop update they added last week. And I love it. It's great. It's like Dishonored, but set in the 1960s. And it has the cool like time loop mechanic. And it's awesome. So I've gotten as far as like eventually you learn how you can keep stuff from one loop to the next so you don't like lose gear. And there's ways to like tie it to yourself so that it persists through each run. And there's like a strategy to it because you're trying to assassinate these people all within 24 hours, one day, and you unlock abilities and stuff. It very much has the DNA of Dishonored, but set in a different time, different place, and a different set of, you know, sci-fi rules with the loop and everything going on the island. So I'm really excited to have something new to play. Now, it's new to Xbox, obviously not a new game, but I really, really like this game so far. So I can't wait to get done recording the podcast right now, because as soon as like we get done, I'm going to go back to playing Deathloop. So with that, I will toss it to Spencer, who I don't think got to play much, because I think you're getting really close to moving into your new house, aren't you?
Yeah, remember when I said that my goal was September 25th, aka when we would be recording this episode? Well, that was a lie. But next episode, October 2nd, well, October 3rd, that episode, we record it on October 2nd. That one is looking likely. Like, I'd put the odds at 70-30 that is the first one from the home, the new home. I don't want to go higher than 70 just because you never know what BS shows up during the week that throws a wrench in the plans. But we got everything moved in yesterday. Everything, for the most part. I think, like, the only thing not in our home are our Christmas decorations, which we don't need for 2 months. So those are not there yet, nor our winter coats, or at least my winter coats. But again, it's September, so I shouldn't need my Carhartt. But basically, it's weird because it's like, I'm at the house maybe a day or two, or it's just now that I have to drive so much for work, I have such a little time as it is. And so when I do have time to engage with entertainment, I'm usually just watching shows, like catching up, you know. So,
plus football season has started for a lot of true. People like you, which means
you lose. So that's several hours of my Saturday and my Sunday are taken up by that. And so, you know, it'll be better. I mean, I do want to play Deathloop. I know I said I was kind of cold on it last week, but I did install it this week. So it's installed on my Xbox and I would like to play it, but I'm probably just going to wait until I'm in my house just because I don't I have such little time now. I'll have more time later. And so I just want to wait until I can kind of sit with it for a little bit before so I can actually get into it and not be interrupted and only have, you know, like an hour here or an hour there. But yeah, like I said, I do want to play it now. Just kind of looking at it this week, it looked a little bit more interesting, and it's something new to play. And obviously, I'm going to play Saints Row soon once it goes on sale, which I have to imagine will be here the next few weeks.
Man, I almost bought it because I just ran. I really want to experience it, even though I know it's flawed.
You messaged us that, but like at this point, like you've waited a month, so like
I know
there's no sense in buying it.
This was
it
like the day before Deathloop, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, now would be the worst time to buy it because you've waited a month, and I feel like if you can wait at least a month, like you can wait any amount of time. And it's going to go on sale sooner rather than later. Although it did sell really well in August, but or at least in the last, what was it, 30? What was that sales report? Was that for the month of August or was that for?
Yeah, August, it was number two best-selling game, I think, in the U.S.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Behind Madden, which is not nothing to slide at because Madden always blows out the month of August. It's always a huge seller. So yeah, I mean, nothing interesting to say. I did play like 5 seconds of Forza, I think. I don't think I really did anything else. But yeah,
I'm holding up a sixth generation iPod Nano for the guys.
Yeah, I was going to say iPod Nano, wow.
Yeah, it's I'm cleaning out tech drawers, and I have a fully functional, I have two of these, 16 gig, which at the time was the biggest storage you could get. I bought a couple of these, one for me, one for my wife. I used to use it as a hard drive to store all my music in my car, but I'm going to sell it or get rid of it now. It's just a funny thing to see, because nobody has iPods anymore, because you can just
use
your phone.
I remember my mom, the only other person I've ever seen with an iPod Nano where they had the screen on it was my mom. She had one of those that she used to use. I remember the first iPod Nano, I like never understood how it worked because there's no screen. Like, how do you see what music you're playing? It's luck of the draw. You hit shuffle.
Yeah, it was called a shuffle, I believe, wasn't it?
iPod Shuffle. Yeah, maybe it was. Maybe that's
there was
it
was one called the Shuffle that was just a forward, backward, and a white circle around the ring. Yeah, and you had to play.
Yeah,
just random. I looked at this one. So this has my entire library from whatever year this came out. So the sixth gen. I'm guessing it was probably around like 2005. And
2005.
Let's look it up right now.
iPod Nano. That iPod Nano.
Nano.
The iPod Nano didn't exist until like the 2010s.
Oh, 2010. Okay, I'm wrong. Okay, so anyway,
2005 was still the OG like brick iPods. That's it.
So it has every song that I had on a hard CD or digital MP3 from that time, and I think it has like 1,900 songs on it, which is actually a lot because I haven't bought a CD probably since like 2007 or 2008. Yeah. Actually, I haven't bought any music since then. I mean, it's all been streaming, and now I just have a Spotify subscription.
Right.
Buying music seems quaint. Like, do you remember, like, when I was in high school, you used to go to, like, album stores and buy, like,
CDs? I remember buying music I'd say the last music I bought, not counting a specific soundtrack, maybe, was probably 10 years ago.
It's crazy because everything has gone digital, right? Like, I buy digital games, I buy very few movies, but I buy them digitally or I stream them, and I don't buy any music. I just stream it all. But what's the one thing we all still, at least a good percentage of people, want physically? Books. And that's the oldest of the four entertainment mediums that you can purchase. It's very interesting. Okay, back on track. Where were we? Gus, I know that you're going to tell us about Game Boy on an Xbox podcast, but what else did you get up to this week? You can talk about Game Boy too. I'm just giving you a hard time. Well, I actually think it's really cool that you're playing retro stuff.
Smite is what I've still been playing a lot of. In fact, that's what I was playing right before we got on here.
Yeah, you were late to the podcast because you were in a match of Smite.
We usually do it later. So when I got the text saying like, "Are you guys ready?" I was like, "Oh, well, this is like a half hour before I was expecting to have to do this." So it is what it is, but I've been having great success playing that recently.
Great success.
Borat. Yeah, so I like to play like the support role in that as like the, call like a guardian role, basically where you just play as the tank, which is my favorite thing to do, because there's a couple of like extremely annoying champions that can, or gods, that can pick people up and like carry them, or like propel them like in different directions. And so lots of times I'll end up either carrying them into the tower radius, which is like the tower is like shoots damaging blasts at people. And so I'll like carry them into that, and it like and it makes them mad, and then they get killed because I carried them in there, or I like propelled them in there. But anyway, it's something that I like to play. But then yeah, I've Game Boy with the Game Boy Color, the first generation Pokemon games. I have I spent this week in the time that I had to play it capturing the legendary birds with Ultra Balls. I didn't want to use my Master Ball. I saved that for Mewtwo, who I also now own. So now that I'm good pretty much on like my the Pokemon Red save that I have, the next order of business is to play Pokemon Blue and try to complete the Generation 1 Pokédex that way. But yeah, that is my it's my goal right now. So I'm kind of chugging along doing that. And we'll see kind of how it goes as it continues on.
Gus, have you heard of the Analog Pocket?
Sorry, one more time.
The Analog Pocket.
No.
Okay, I'm going to send you an article because you should check this thing out. But it's basically this company called Analog made a Game Boy, but they made it with 2020 technology. So it has like a full LCD, modern parts on the inside, everything. But it takes cartridges from every Game Boy generation. So it's like a modern device, but it plays all the retro games.
Interesting.
It's supposed to be like the best way to play, because like you could play original Game Boy games with a backlit screen and stuff.
Oh.
I don't know what it costs.
Send me that.
But
I'm gonna check it out.
Well, actually, I'm going to look it up right now, because why not take the listeners along? Analog Pocket. Here we go. I actually was tempted to get one at one point because this is like a great way to play retro games. Yeah, so it says it's compatible with 2,780 Game Boy, Game Boy Color, and Game Boy Advance cartridges.
The real question is, though, is that with that, well, so a big part of the generation, like early generation Pokemon games is that was the trade mechanic.
Which, I believe it supports all that stuff because it has a thing, but I'm not sure.
Use, well,
it's $220.
I'm looking. Oh yeah, no way. You can buy refurbished ones that are like backed by like warranties for that right now.
Yeah,
or
but
for less than that, for like half of that price.
It does improve the experience in some ways, or take away, depending on how purist you are about your retroness.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, yeah, the non-backlit screen is probably like the like
biggest detriment.
Thing. Yeah, but I don't know. Those look pretty interesting.
Yeah, there's that, and there's another device that I can't remember that looks pretty cool for like retro gaming. It's the one that you can turn a crank to power it. So it doesn't have batteries. It's, well, it does, but it's like charged by mechanical function with your hand. That one I don't think is quite as popular. Anyway, Gus, did you want to talk about anything else you've been playing, or should I move on to the news?
Nothing else really. No. So
okay.
We are good.
Yeah. Well, you know what? When I was writing up the notes at the beginning of the weekend, I was like, man, this has been a slow week compared to the last 2 weeks, which were really heavy on the news. But I actually had missed a few big stories, and there's one that I've been putting off talking about. So we do have quite a bit of good news to talk about this week. But the biggest story, or I guess the headliner, is going to be Iron Man game was finally revealed. So we had heard rumors of some different Marvel games. I don't know. I think we did specifically hear of an EA Iron Man game because we talked about how they could borrow from Anthem. So they put out a tweet. This is EA Motive. And the tweet said, "The news is out. We couldn't be more thrilled to collaborate with Marvel Games on an all-new single-player action-adventure Iron Man game. While we're still in early development, this is an exciting new adventure for our studio." And then they have an image of the Iron Man suit with some heavy shadowing on it, so you can't see all of the detail. A couple things I want to call out, and then I want to get your reactions. Single player, yes. Action adventure, yes. And then the design. It looks very angular, a lot of hard angles, not very smooth. It definitely feels like a departure from the Marvel Avengers game and the MCU, which I think is good. I'm going to go to Gus first. Gus, how do you feel about this? Are they saying the right things to get you interested? This first image, what do you think?
The first image kind of reminds me of like the like mid like early 2000s run of Iron, like 2008 Iron Man costume or its armor in terms of what it looks like. Mainly just because of like you said, like the angular bits that they have, like especially like from the helmet that I'm seeing, that looks a lot like his like armor from Marvel Twin Alliance 1, and which is cool. It's fine with me. Some of it is like the more modern stuff is like all like obviously like nanotechnology, and it like it's like almost like form fitting. Whereas this looks a lot more like actually like a suit of armor rather than just like futuristic technology, which is kind of like what it ended up at the end of Tony Stark's lifespan in the MCU. So I like it. I mean, I think the design, I think it looks cool. I'm glad it's going to be single player. I mean, I know we've had an Iron Man game in the past, and I'm excited to see a new one in 2022 with modern graphics and all that. But yeah,
I'm trying to think.
I like what I see. So
I think he's only, so we had the Iron Man game for the Iron Man movie in 2008, 2009. And yep. Then he was in Marvel's Avengers, but there wasn't anything uniquely Iron Man about him. He was kind of generic controls like all the characters in that game. What about you, Spencer? Let me toss it over to you. How are you feeling?
I was going to say, Tim, you're forgetting one huge Iron Man game that didn't sell very well or do very well. It was kind of panned. That was 2019's Anthem.
Well, I mean, I mentioned it briefly, but it's definitely the worst Iron Man game.
This game is a spiritual successor to Anthem. It's Anthem 2 with the flying mechanics. Hopefully they can borrow that from their EA sister studio BioWare and the best part of Anthem, you know. I honestly didn't even see this. I mean, I briefly saw this on Twitter this week, so I wasn't really following it that much. I know it was this week where they had the Marvel game showcase. I don't know why I said Marvel.
No,
like
that was two was or three weeks week? Ago.
Oh, so why did they announce? Why was it in the news this week so late?
I don't know.
That's
and strange. It leaked over a month ago. So like, why did they come out of the woodwork to announce it when it's in early development and nobody was pushing them?
Yeah, well, so I'm excited for it because, I mean, I like the idea of single player comic book games. I mean, you know, I think Spider-Man is the big one that we unfortunately don't get on Xbox. You know, we got Guardians of the Galaxy last year, which was a pretty solid game. You know, an 8 out of 10 type of a game. I mean, it other than Batman, there really hasn't been really any successful Marvel single player games recently. And so it's exciting to see it.
I think the only one would be Guardians of the Galaxy, and that was awesome.
Yeah, outside of Batman and Guardians of the Galaxy, they're really, for some strange reason, you know, Marvel's been the dominant entertainment franchise of the better part of the last decade, and their video game offerings have really been kind of non-existent other than Marvel Guardians of the Galaxy and Spider-Man. This is cool. I really hope they can nail the flying, because obviously with Iron Man, that's like, you know, half of his appeal, to me at least, is the fact that he can fly. So that makes his character pretty interesting. It makes it more challenging, I guess, because you have to incorporate verticality and maybe larger play spaces, I guess, if you will, than you would in like an Arkham City even, or an Arkham Knight. But I mean, if they nailed it with Spider-Man, which arguably, I mean, Spider-Man is obviously not as mobile as Iron Man since he can only swing, but still, like, if you can nail a good feeling of New York City for Spider-Man, I feel like you should be able to nail Los Angeles, or I guess New York City for Tony Stark as well.
I wonder if they'll take a playbook out of some of the comics and the movies, and go outside New York, because even though New York's mostly been his home, we do get a lot of everybody is set in New York for Marvel, and how many games are you going to have set in Manhattan?
For some reason, I was thinking, well, Iron Man 1, the movie, is in Southern California.
Yeah. And
so there's a little bit of potential flavor there. Like, you could do Los Angeles, because I mean, LA isn't really a setting we see very often other than like GTA in their version of LA.
Well, and that was, I think at the time they did that for the movie, that was a change, because they did it in the comics that. I don't think it was common for him to have, but he's a billionaire. He could have houses wherever he wants.
Right. Yeah. I guess. I mean, I'll be interested to see what we learn about this game. How far away is it? That type of thing. And as we get closer, like, what do they tell us? Like, what the setting is, you know? And
the,
but
who
the
villain
that,
is.
The thing about Iron Man is, like, unfortunately, I think more than any other comic book character, he's so associated with his actor. Like, I'd say Captain America is probably a close second to this, just because they've only really been encapsulated by one actor successfully. Whereas, like, Batman and Spider-Man, there's multiple iterations. So whoever your voice actor is for your Spider-Man or your Batman, it doesn't matter as much because we've had so many of them. Whereas to me, Iron Man, more than any other character, it's like, dang, this is Robert Downey Jr. Still, like, whenever I hear any other version of Iron Man, I'm like, this is kind of like the Great Value brand Iron Man. This isn't real. You know, this isn't name brand Iron Man. So hopefully they can nail that, because I feel like that, to me, other than gameplay, is like the other huge hurdle. But that's, again, that's a personal opinion thing. I don't necessarily think other people have that same opinion like I do. But for whatever reason, just more than any other comic book character, I just feel like Iron Man is so associated with the actor that played him in the MCU that it's difficult. Because even like in Guardians of the Galaxy, like, I thought they did a great job with all of those voice actors. Like, I thought the guy that did Star-Lord was fine. Like, Chris Pratt is iconic in that role, but I think they still did a good job, you know, with that voice acting. So it's possible, but it'll be, for me personally, it'll be tough, I think, for me to get over that. I'm sure I'll get over it if the game's good, but that's something that I thought about too when I was looking at it this week.
I'm a little used to other actors in the role because I watched Avengers Earth Mightiest Heroes, the greatest Marvel animated show of the last 20 years. And I've watched a little bit of Avengers Assemble, which is the newer MCU adjacent animated series. And those have different actors. I can't remember the guy that voices him in Earth's Mightiest Heroes. I swear it's the guy from the TV show Heroes, the older politician guy. I can't remember the actor's name. But he's played Iron Man on, I think, more than one occasion. Other things I wanted to highlight. Oh, well, also, Spencer, to your comment about Robert Downey Jr., one direction that could come out of this, like, one thing I get from this image is it might be slightly less realistic. It does look like there's some stylized nature to this, and it maybe it's a less real world where it's not, you know, trying for realism, is trying for more of a stylized thing where, you know, it'll be easier to differentiate from the MCU that way. The other thing is they announced as part of this that this is the first of multiple Marvel games that are going to be made between Marvel and EA. So that's interesting and exciting. If just that we're going to get, I say exciting because at this point, we know they're making Spider-Man 2, Wolverine, Wonder Woman, that's not Marvel. We've got Iron Man. What else am I forgetting that they've announced so far? Oh, the Captain America Black Panther game. So some amount of these are going to be good and some amount of these are going to be bad, just like how Avengers wasn't super great, but Guardians of the Galaxy was awesome. So the more shots on goal that we take with Marvel games from bigger studios with big budgets, we're bound to get some winners. Now, I hope that the winners are the stuff you want to succeed, but who knows? Also, what I really want from an Iron Man game is I want the Hall of Armor, right? I want to be able to, like, go and select which armor I get in. I don't want it to be a skin, right? Yeah, I don't want to just build my suit and skin it. I want to walk into the Hall of Armor and get in a suit that has specific abilities. And maybe even have one custom suit that, like, I get to, like, shape to my own preferences, right? Let me customize the way it looks by putting different shapes and parts on it, or build it entirely. So the way they build out that progression system, because even more than Spider-Man, like in the Marvel Spider-Man game, Insomniac did a great job with progression, but they made up all kinds of crazy abilities that Spider-Man has that don't make sense, right? Like slowing down time. Well, that one kind of makes sense with the Spidey sense. He can go invisible or turn into like flaming Ghost Rider. He had all these boosts, but in an Iron Man game, there's built in progression. He's just a guy that wears a suit. So either building or unlocking the stuff he needs to make better suits is the great way to progress in the game. So like, it's already there. Like they just need to build it out successfully through gameplay, but I think it could be really cool. Gus.
Quick aside on the Spider-Man games that I saw a video about how in the game some of the moves you can do will definitely kill people And I know Spider-Man is like known for like not killing people, but like some of the, like he like throws like an exploding barrel at somebody and it blows up, and I'm like, that person is dead. Sorry, you can't convince me they went to the ICU burn unit. That dude is in a coffin
somewhere. I'm pretty sure you can throw people off skyscrapers.
Oh
too,
yeah, you can throw them off buildings.
Yeah,
like
they just happen like to get so caught by a web on things. The way down.
He like threw the dude up into the air, and then like his own teammate like shot him in the back with like a sniper rifle. I'm like, well, he's also dead or paralyzed at the minimum. Granted, obviously Spider-Man didn't kill him at that point, but still. Anyway, I just
well, hey, we're about to go into Gotham Knights, where Red Hood shoots rubber bullets and knocks
rubber
people out.
Armor piercing bullets.
they pierce through everything but skin,
and then it becomes a rubber bullet. So the armor piercing shrapnel just like flies off once it goes to the armor, and just a rubber bullet.
Gus, you could actually play Spider-Man now that it's on PC.
I could. I'm sure my PC would explode.
You could probably run it on
medium
settings.
Already has a hard
time
playing
with
Stray as is.
Well, Spider-Man's a previous generation game. It's even older. Well, you should settle for like medium with like a 720p or 1080p resolution.
Yeah, I have. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, number two. Certain Affinity, which has been on Halo for many, many years. Max Hoverman, the CEO of Certain Affinity, goes all the way back to being involved in the designing of maps on Halo 2. So he started Certain Affinity years ago, and he's worked on many a Halo since alongside 343. I think he worked at Bungie and then eventually worked when he started Certain Affinity, worked alongside them on Halo Infinite. I don't think he ever worked. I don't know if there was a point where he was at Certain Affinity and he assisted on a Bungie Halo game. I think that was where the transition to 343 happened, but not sure of the timeline there. But anyway,
Halo 2.
He left after Halo 2.
Well, Halo 2 was the first game that they worked on.
Oh, okay. So
in
yeah.
In any capacity. So Halo 2.
So maybe he never was an employee. He just worked on it as a partner. That sounds more likely. I knew there was something there. I'm sorry that I'm.
Well, they worked on. They helped Bungie with Halo 2 and Halo Reach.
Yeah, and then I know he worked on 5 and Infinite, which obviously we're talking about it now because he's
and
working
4.
On Infinite.
Not 5, just 4 and Infinite.
Interesting.
According to Wikipedia. Well, I don't know.
Anyway, so he did an interview recently with, I wrote it down here, VentureBeat, I believe it was. Yeah, VentureBeat. So Max Hoverman did an interview with VentureBeat, and he made a couple of statements. So I'll just read them here, and then we can talk about it. The biggest thing we're doing that's public right now, for more than 2 years now, we've been working on Halo Infinite, doing something that we're very prescriptive about what we can say. He said they're very prescriptive about what we can say, but we're doing something unannounced and we're doing lead development on that unannounced thing from the conception to the design. It's something big and new for the franchise, but I can't say more about it. That's our single largest project of all of our three projects. Currently, we have close to 100 developers working on that. So Certain Affinity has 100 people working on something that will be new to Halo, and they've been working on it for 2 years for Halo Infinite. So what do we think this could be? I've seen there are two rumors swirling. One is, the one I think is less likely is Halo's take on Battle Royale. I feel like they've tried this already with Last Spartan Standing and some other stuff. I don't think that takes 3 years to develop. The other option is some sort of co-op experience that has maybe more like Destiny in it, with like raids or strikes from Destiny, where you take a group of three or four people and you go on a online co-op thing to fight a boss at the end. But what do you guys think of that idea, or what do you want them to be working on?
It's a couch co-op. That's what they're working on, since we still don't have it. And won't have it. It's Forge. That's what. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I mean, I guess I like more of the second thing that you said. I think Battle Royale is so tired and played out at this point, and I think developers are starting to realize that, and they realize that okay, we've got Warzone, Fortnite, and the other existing ones that people care about. You know, this space, like. The barrier to entry is too high for us to find success, even for something as big as Halo. So I think I guess if I had to pick between those two rumors, that, like you said, the second one does sound a lot more realistic, and it sounds kind of interesting to me. I think, you know, what made Halo fun back in the day was playing the single player missions with your friend, or in Halo 3's case, with three of your friends. And so obviously once you're able to play the campaign over again with your friends, that's one thing. But if they can implement some sort of system like Destiny with the raids or with strikes, whatever, where there's kind of a rotating menu of objectives that you can go after, whether that's in the map as it is, or if it's in the specific areas of the map that are kind of, sequestered away for missions, like if they can somehow tie different parts of those areas together to make up a new type of goal, objective, like, okay, go to this area, do this thing with your friends, or with multiple people. That sounds pretty cool to me. I mean, that, it's a way to keep the game fresh, and it would definitely be something new to Halo. I mean, we've never had anything like that. It's always just been either the regular multiplayer, custom games, or, you know, replaying the single player missions, which are linear, have a set path, and they never change. Whereas obviously Halo Infinite's campaign was a little bit different on that. It was open world, except for obviously the individual missions weren't. It was kind of still that classic Halo kind of sort of linear, sort of sandbox approach. The actual missions were, at least, but having, like I said, kind of a rotating or metamorphosizing. I can't even think of that word. Evolving, no, or shifting type of single player, or not single player, multiplayer story experience like that. That seems pretty cool to me. And it would be kind of neat to see.
There is a maybe more likely, more obvious thing that it could be, which DLC. I don't know that I'd call it DLC, but I'd maybe call it an expansion, or maybe
that's what I meant. Yeah, the story expansion,
because the story did leave that new race that was involved there at the end.
Yeah, that's what
as
I was gonna,
a hanging thread.
I was going to mention that, like, technically speaking, the end of the story, there was, like you said, this new race introduced that's totally, you know, foreign to Halo to this point, at least the video games. That,
and
like,
really that
he could be being very literal, like, yeah, this is literally, we've never explored this race of aliens, so that's what we're doing. It's a first for Halo. But I mean, that's so on the nose literal that I don't know.
But what if they use that new race and that new civilization or whatever becomes uncovered as a way to usher in the series into new elements, like recurring stuff like what Destiny has, where you can do missions more than once to get new gear or new something. Now, Halo is not going to be a loot based game, so there's some sort of gameplay loop they'll have to figure out there. But, you know, get it? Could a Halo expansion not be set on the ring, or could the another part of the ring look entirely different because of this race that took it over or did whatever? I'm really getting out with crazy theories now, but
I'm still mad that we don't know anything about, like, Earth or the UNSC. All these months later, almost a year later, I'm still annoyed that we still don't know anything about them, or like the Arbiter.
Facts.
Or Halt.
That'll be in Halo Infinite too.
I can't even
Isn't
remember.
Is there supposed to be a DLC coming out?
That's what we're talking about, whether this could be that. I mean, it felt like they left room for one, but there isn't an official announcement of any single player content.
Yeah. Hmm.
I don't know if that's enough to get the community back on their side after canceling co-op. I mean, they kind of are playing from behind.
Halo Infinite has kind of turned into The Last Jedi. Technologically or visually or cinematography, all that incredible. Looks great. Plays great. Sounds great. Whatever.
The execution.
But, like, our expectations were subverted so hard that, like, a lot of the community is in revolt. And obviously the live service element has been kind of a total flop. That doesn't help either. But I feel like they're like, maybe I'm being crazy drawing these parallels, but they do seem kind of similar in that respect to me. Like you can't knock the product for being bad to look at or bad to experience. It's just the story or other, and, you know, other things like that kind of let it down. I don't know why I'm making this comparison. That's stupid, but
I honestly wish them success. I hope what they come out with is
obviously
amazing, and it changes the whole conversation around Halo Infinite. But also,
yeah, you know, you never want Halo to fail. I mean, as mad as you want to be about like how it's been handled as of late, like it doesn't mean you want to see the whole thing just completely tank because you're so mad at them yourselves.
So I'm going to bring something up that I buried down in the quick hits because it isn't really a news story. But so today, as we're recording, is the 15th anniversary of Halo 3, which is my personal favorite Halo game. And they had a Halo Championship Series Orlando event happening for the esports. And I guess at that, they tweeted it out, they announced that the Pit, one of the fan favorite maps from Halo 3, is coming back for Halo Infinite. And the new version of it is like kind of like it's set in like you can see the galaxy out above the stars and in like a neon drenched environment. I just pasted in an image of it into our show notes if you guys want to see it. But yeah, so they're bringing back the Pit in Halo Infinite. And now it looks like it's got some changes. Like in the image I shared, you can see the stairs that go up to the central room where the sword used to be placed in Halo 3. There's now like a side like jut out that changes maybe the way cover works on that part. But the fact that the general layout of the Pit is going to come to a modern Halo game. Now, it's been in other games. It's been in other games besides Halo 3. It's I'm pretty sure it's actually I'm not going to look it up. It doesn't matter. But I don't think the Pit is only in Halo 3. I think they brought it back for either Halo 4 or Halo 5 in a new iteration. Halo always has repeats of maps with different names like Zanzibar and I forget all the names. Anyway, so I know that you guys don't play really Halo Infinite multiplayer. I still dabble from time to time, so I'll probably jump back in when that releases.
Did you say that? I saw this on Twitter actually before we started recording. Is this this is like a made by the developers, right? Like this is made by 343 and they're putting it in the rotation once it comes out?
I don't know, actually. I assume so because it looks, with the neon drench stuff, I don't know if Forge is capable of doing that yet, or if it's the private beta Forge people that built this.
I was going to say, I feel like it's made either by 343 or maybe the private beta, because what I saw on Twitter is it is people were like, yeah, this looks cool, but like, there needs to be more Forge like sooner, because by the time this even comes out, the people in the beta, or maybe by the time it comes out, people, it's live release by that point, they'll have remade it. They'll have remade all the Halo 3 maps probably. But they won't be in like the actual like game rotations, like matchmaking rotations, even if they are really, really good. Which I feel like that's such a missed opportunity. I mean, not having Forge at launch was the biggest missed opportunity, I think, of this entire game's existence, just because of the amount of content that could have been cranked out at peak playership, you know, in November.
And if you remember from their file, the roadmap they released at the last update we gave a couple weeks ago, I think the game browser where it lets you select maps and modes you want to play on isn't coming for at least another season, and that might be a long, you know, that would be maybe when we'd be able to select user
it's
content.
Just like, man, you'd think
you'd
think that with all the talent and teams that Xbox has at its fingertips, that they would have talked to somebody like, hey, listen, we know you want to do this, but you know, 343 really needs some help right now. They need to get this live service thing on a steady train. They need extra hands on deck. I get their hands off. I get Phil Spencer is largely hands off compared to maybe his counterparts elsewhere, but I just feel like more than anything else, like with Halo, you have to give it as preferential or as much special treatment as it needs, because you need to have something that you can count on, just because like there's so few first party games still out in the ether that when you get one out there, I just don't understand why there isn't more support for this. Why isn't 343 cranking more things out? It just doesn't.
I wonder how much of this is caused by them building that new engine for this game, the Slipstream engine or whatever. Like if they'd used off the shelf, like Unreal or something else. Or
that's what 343 learned with Cyberpunk and The Witcher 4. They're going back to Unreal for Witcher 4. Like, they're dropping the Red engine.
You said
so.
343. You mean CDPR.
I mean CD Projekt Red, yeah.
But you're right. I mean, well, and we're seeing that across the industry. People are dropping internal tool sets, except for the ones that are iconic, like id Tech at, you know, Doom and Wolfenstein and those.
But that's such a good point. I don't understand why.
Why not use id Tech?
Why not use id Tech? Why not have folks from Machine Games or id Software? Like, hello, they are of the same parent company. Like, they literally are in the same corporate structure. Like, it blows my mind that you could literally have Doom Eternal and Halo Infinite and there not be any cross-pollination. Like, I just don't get it.
Or
like Machine Games with Wolfenstein. Like, Wolfenstein, say what you will about like the difficulty of it or kind of, I don't know, the quirkiness of it. Yeah, but like the two main entries were good. Yeah, and like the gameplay is solid.
Three, kind of, with what was the one that was a standalone DLC? Yeah, Old Blood. Of the four games, three of them are killer and one of them is just okay.
Yeah, that's another one that I'm surprised we haven't.
Looking at you, Youngblood. Yeah, I know. I remember a couple of years ago, I was like, we're definitely going to hear Wolfenstein 3 this year.
Yeah.
Man, was I wrong.
We haven't heard anything about Wolfenstein in 5 years. I wonder if we'll hear anything about it next year. Maybe the Game Awards. Maybe it's a Game Awards tease.
I don't know. I don't think Xbox never does much at the Game Awards besides like announcing consoles or Game Pass or, you know, games for Game Pass.
Yeah, the Game Awards will be all Starfield.
What's still crazy to me, and I feel like I've been talking about this on this podcast for like 3 or 4 years, is like all the studios they've acquired, the first game to come out that is not going to be something that was a prior commitment before they acquired them is going to be like Pentiment and Grounded when those come out this fall, because everything else from like Psychonauts to The Outer Worlds to Deathloop, all these things had deals with other publishers or they already had commitments. So like all those studios are just now getting free of their commitments to all these other things and can go out and do what they want to do with the infusion of capital. Now, I'm sure Grounded is going to be a better game because Xbox came along and put more money into it, but
Wasteland,
and I think
3,
Grounded
is another one.
Oh yeah, another commitment. Yep, exactly. And so all these studios then have to go back into their dev cycles and work for 3, 4, 5 years to make another game.
I'm gonna be an old man before we get the first real AAA game from any of these studios. By the time Fable comes out or Avowed comes out, I'll be 47 years old.
And I'll be a coffin.
Have 6 kids, all in college.
6 kids in college.
One dead.
47.
One
that
dead.
Math doesn't check out. 47, 30. That would mean you're having a lot of kids right now. Oh man. Okay, this is kind of gross, but it's natural, so it's not. But I saw the world record for the woman to give birth to the most amount of kids in one childbirth, and I saw a picture of her when she was still pregnant and how big her belly was. It was bigger than her as a person. It was scary. And she successfully gave birth. Just amazing. So that's your wife. You're going to have 6 kids. 6 sextuplets. Is that what that is?
Hey, you do that and you're good. You can get your tubes tied when that happens and then you're good.
If you have sextuplets and you have 0 kids when you have sextuplets, your taxes the next year, the government's going to pay you money. They're going to be like, here,
the government's
here's $20,000.
Like, the government's going to be like, hey, we know you've been working since you were 16, so here's the last 15 years worth of taxes back to you.
I mean, I had twins in the first year. They were born right before the end of the year, so we did our taxes, and it was like, oh, this is a change. Okay, moving on. Number 3. Now, this one's been a story for 2 weeks now, I think, and I have not talked about it on the show for a good reason, or I guess my personal preference since I'm the host of the show. Grand Theft Auto 6 leaked 90 videos and a bunch of screenshots and rumors of the source code. And I didn't really talk about this because I don't care, because we talk about a lot of leaks on the show, but leaks are different when it's a mostly finished product and you're leaking, and we find out about the release date a couple days early. Like it accidentally goes up from the ESRB, or it goes up on the Microsoft Store, or, you know, somebody talks to the press a little too early. But it's very different when the game is years away. Someone hacks the company through nefarious means and breaks the law and does all this crap. And they do it just to show us a game that is going to change 1,000 times between now and release date. So normally when a game leaks, everyone might not have wanted it to leak, but at least the person within the company that shared that information shared it with a willing party in the press. And that's kind of how investigative journalism works, through sources. But so the reaction from the gaming development community has been everyone is sharing videos of what their game looked like years before release, which, if you don't know anything about game development, there's a thing like called gray box environment. It's where like everything is gray. There's no color or texture or anything to it. They're just making sure the game works and it looks hideous, because that's how you work. I've actually played games in this state when I've done, what do you call it? Not beta, because it's earlier testing. I've done pre-alpha testing at game studios, and I played gray box environment games. And when I filled out surveys about that gameplay, they were like, you know, which one of these options felt more fluid? Which one of these options felt more? And they would have you test different iterations, and you would tell them which one you like. And it was in a gray box environment. And so I say all that to say is everything about that leaked is going to change. Like, even if, let's say, these came out and it showed that this was set in the Canadian mountains, right? Like the setting, you could clearly tell it was all snow. It was all in the mountains. They could completely change that later. They could have even just built that map used a map from another game like Red Dead Redemption to test the movement for Grand Theft Auto 6. It doesn't mean anything 2-3 years before release. So it's so frustrating. And I just don't care. I don't care. Spencer, you look like you had something to say.
Yeah, wasn't a kid arrested in the UK this week connected to this, like a 17-year-old?
That's what everyone has been alleging. I don't know if it's been officially confirmed was, in fact. And I did also see a report that it was him and another person acting together, but I don't know if that's confirmed.
I saw what you were talking about on Twitter today, actually, of people like releasing videos of gray boxing next to like their actual finished product. Like I saw it for Control.
That in Uncharted 4.
Yeah, so I don't know if it was somebody, I didn't check to see if it was somebody from the dev team I don't even remember.
Remedy,
yeah. So I honestly, when I saw the stuff, like you said, 2 weeks ago, week and a half ago, whenever that was, I didn't even click on any of it or look at any of it, just because, number one, I don't care. Like, seeing pre-alpha footage of a video game that's 3 years away I mean, I will admit if Elder Scrolls 6 footage leaked, okay, I'd look at that because I'm freaking desperate for that. But like, to me, it's like when I saw this, I was like, I don't have any interest in this. I don't care. Like, this is a waste of my time. Like, why do I want to see an unfinished product like this? Like, it's GTA. Like, it's going to be good. Probably it's years away. I don't know. It was kind of stupid. It was like, I get like it. Whoever leaks it, like, maybe you get notoriety, but nobody knows who you are anyway. So like, what's the point? You know, all you're doing is potentially, now Rockstar says they're not going to delay the game, but you potentially risk delaying the game, you know, an unknown amount of time out over this, because they have to kind of circle things around, tighten up security, rehash things. Maybe they end up changing stuff. Who knows? But, you know, fortunately, they first thing Rockstar with their statement said, they're not going to delay it, which people kind of thought, you know, they were a little surprised by that. So fortunately that's not going to happen, but there really is no benefit to leaking anything like this. And it's stupid. And like you, Tim, I didn't have any interest in looking at it, maybe for different reasons, but I was just like, yeah, I don't care about this really at all.
No, I think we're on the same wavelength. I didn't care. I did see screenshots of it from news articles that were covering it and just the social media, but I saw it seemed to be one very common screenshot everybody was using, which was like a female character standing in a city that could easily be, you know, LA, Miami, any other number of places. So another thing I want to say about this is, so the guy that leaked the Assassin's Creed presentation a couple weeks ago, the 15th anniversary presentation, the one where they revealed Assassin's Creed Red, Assassin's Creed Hex, and Assassin's Creed Mirage. the person that leaked that leaked themselves by accident. So he had set up a Twitter account to leak all that stuff, and he accidentally replied to a tweet on that Twitter account with his personal Twitter account, and then deleted the tweet, but someone had already screenshotted it. So he outed himself. This guy turned out to be a YouTuber. I believe he's Australian, an Australian YouTuber that had embargoed information from Ubisoft about what would be presented at the press event, the stream, and he leaked it ahead of time and broke NDA. And so obviously he's probably in trouble with Ubisoft now, and he's putting out, you know, videos on his YouTube channel saying, I did it for the clout, and I don't know why I was addicted to the clout. And I don't know how people get caught up in that. Like, we're a small podcast, and we get occasional embargoed information from publishers for games. And it's like, I would never break that. And I'm always on top of Gus and Spencer. Like, here is the date. You must not tweet or stream anything before this date, because we agreed to honor it. Because, I mean, it's an agreement. They've given us information ahead of everyone else so that we can prepare
the clout, Tim.
And clout. Yeah, could I make a Twitter account and leak, you know, a couple of details on some things? Sure. Why? Why would I do that? Especially since once I get found out, if I get found out, I'm going to get burned by that company anyway. It's just so pointless. The clout is not worth it to me. Not even a little bit. So the whole thing is stupid. If you leak, you know, obviously we talk about leaks on this podcast, but we don't talk about leaks generally where the people were bad actors hacking the company and sharing stuff that nobody cares about anyway, or the people that do care about are stupid. So that's my point. Moving on. Number four, the September Xbox dashboard update is live. Shout out to Brett, who's been on the show before, and he always listens, because Brett, I want to share a perspective that Brett has shared with me. And Brett, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry, I should have just had you on to say this. But Brett points out, and I think this is a fair point, that even though Xbox is always adding features, this laid into the console, especially using the same design as the last generation, the features are becoming less and less significant over time. And we're having bigger gaps between big updates. And there are some people in the audience that are just like, stop changing things. And I know Brett feels that way, and it is a legitimate perspective. I will say I'm the type of person that I like new features and new stuff all the time. And I am a little sick of the homepage design. I wish it was more fluid for me, but I probably spend a lot more time on it than the average user. So I wanted to share that perspective. That said, the September update is out. Here's what it adds. Party chat noise suppression. So now they've added an algorithm that helps suppress sound in the background and separates it from your voice. I don't know how good this works, but it's nice to see that they've implemented it, because how many times it's supposed to help with removing like fan noise and like breathing in your mic, which are the two biggest things that I always have issues with other people in my party. Number two, you can now customize the color of the Xbox button, but only on the Xbox Elite Series 2. So apparently the LEDs on all other Xbox controllers must only be white, because you can only change the color on the Series 2. So that's in the new software update. The other two updates, these are the bigger ones, I think. Selecting storage locations for games and apps. So you now can select three different storage locations, one for Series X and S games, one for backwards compatible games, and one for apps. And you can choose Let Xbox Decide, which means it will always choose the fastest storage that has enough space for that type of thing. So like if you do Series X and S games, Let Xbox Decide, it'll put it on the internal hard drive unless you run out of space, and then it'll put it on a storage card or an external if your drive is full. So it's pretty cool that the storage will be smart. For example, I set it to where my Xbox Series X games go to my internal hard drive, my backwards compatible games go to my external hard drive, and I think I have the apps on the internal hard drive or my storage card. I don't remember which, but kind of handy. And then finally, number four, the redesign of My Games and Apps, where now you have an all games, owned games, Game Pass, EA Play, Xbox Live Gold, and owned apps. And it's all organized across in basically tabs for each one. So you now can see your entire library, every game you have access to via owned or subscription, all in one place, or you can dive down into each of the individual categories. Have you guys gotten this update yet? Have you explored at all the new My Games and Apps?
I'm actually excited to see this. Yeah, sorry, guys.
I don't think I have had it yet. So
I don't know how long until it forces you to update, but yeah, if you want it, you can just go to system update and you could get it right now.
I'm sure I could. I might check after we're done here.
Yeah, I'm actually excited for an update for once.
Yeah, me too.
So I've had it for a while because I'm in the alpha preview group, and it's funny, there were a few bugs in it when it first came out, like some of the text was wrong, and it got fixed very quickly. That's the, you know, the benefit of having tens of thousands of people preview these things and submit bug reports. Also, it's really nice when I submit a bug report, they actually write me back and they're like, hey, yeah, we saw this. You're right. We're going to fix it. And so I've had them respond to me before, which is nice.
I like the My Games and App kind of filtering. I do like that. I like being able to see every possible thing I can play and then filter it down from there. That's cool. And then I'll try changing the color of my Elite Series 2 jewel. I don't know.
What color are you going to go with?
Well, we'll see what I can do. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I'll make it black.
I don't think black is an option. Just maybe you could do dark gray. Yeah. I would probably do blue on mine.
Have it be black with the X's white.
No. Yeah, that's black. True.
True. Well, I don't know.
I don't think you can change the color of the X.
No, you can't, because that's the controller behind it. Well, I don't. You can't have black light. Black's like the absence of light. I mean, you can have a black light, but that's a different light. That's more.
But you know what I mean, though. Like just making it dark light. I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying.
I don't know what
gray.
You're saying. Either.
I guess a gray. You're right. I don't know.
I already have mine set to 50% opacity because I don't like the bright light on my controller. So on my Elite, I turned it down to 50%.
Candy paint red.
Candy paint red. I mean, you can do that.
Just bright red. Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so the next update that's coming for My Games and Apps, which is what they're testing now, it's not in the update that just got released, is they're updating the filter button to where now you can apply filters instead of... Before, if you wanted, if you clicked internal storage, it would just show you internal storage. Now they're making the filter work like a website where you can, like almost Amazon, where you can select what you want. So, like, you could select two hard drives and it'll show you those two combined instead of just one at a time. So, you now could select, I want multiplayer games on these two hard drives and it would filter to that. There's some other stuff, like they're adding a search page or search button on the homepage and a settings button on the nav and some other stuff, but that's all in testing now for, I assume, the October update, maybe November. Finally, the last main story this week, Game Pass games for the rest of September. Beacon Pines coming September 22nd. Actually, as I look at my calendar, it's already September 26th, so I need to update my notes here. So Spider Heck, Beacon Pines, Slime Rancher 2 are all already out. And then coming this week on my birthday, September 27th, Moon Scars, Grounded, the full release. Let's Build a Zoo is coming September 29th. Valheim is coming September 29th on PC. And Paw Patrol Grand Prix is coming September 30th. So out of that bunch, I'd say Grounded is notable. Slime Rancher 2 is notable. And I don't... Valheim is big on PC, but I don't really... Not on console. And I don't know anything
about the rest
of
these. Paw Patrol, baby. Let's go.
That game has to be terrible. Spencer, look up the Metacritic for that game. See
Paw
if it
Patrol,
even has one.
Paw Patrol, what's it called? Grand Prix?
Paw Patrol Grand Prix. Xbox. I'm guessing it's an Xbox One game.
I love when people make jokes. No, it's a... it was released... No, it's a day one on Game Pass game, I think.
Okay, well, does it have a...
Yeah, September 30th,
2022. It might not even have reviews yet, then. If it doesn't come out till September 30th, it doesn't have a Metacritic.
It does not have a Metacritic yet.
I downloaded that DC Super Pets game, and then I saw it was basically an on-rails phone like shooter game, and that they ported to console, and I was like, yeah, I'm not playing this, and I uninstalled it immediately.
I always, whenever people talk about like Paw Patrol or like Cars, the movie series, or Planes, its spinoff, I always laugh when people are like, so the existence of Paw Patrol implies that they have police brutality, or like in the Cars movies, it's like, with the planes spinoff, there's an implication that 9/11 happened in the Cars universe because they show you downtown New York City and there's no two towers. So were the planes the terrorists? Were the terrorists inside the planes?
Or in their world, there never were two towers.
I guess, but I think the bigger question is, does police brutality exist in Paw Patrol?
I have a bigger problem with the Cars movie. So I've been watching them actually with my kids. We watched part of Cars 3 this week. And here's my problem. And this is a lot of people's problem. What part of the car is sentient? Because it's not, the tires aren't part of the car, right? The tires come off, they change them at pit stops.
Yeah,
they explode.
Like, that was at Cars 3 where that was like the big thing, like the preview for that. I can't remember. It was on Twitter this week for some reason.
There's,
making the
there's a part in Cars 3. There's a new Cars TV show that just came to Disney Plus, and I've watched part of that with my kids too. But yeah, like there's different scenes where like they change their tires or the tires blow up like balloons. And it's like, okay, so your tires is not sentient. And then Lightning McQueen gets wrecked in the third movie. And I don't know if he does in any of the other ones. And he has to get his body redone with primer and repainted and reskinned and everything. So his body isn't sentient. His windshield is, because that's his eyes. So like, what part of him is alive?
So you said there's a new Cars TV show like that's right. Yeah. Just come out like this week.
Yeah. Like it came out like three weeks ago. Week,
but recently. OK, that must be why I was seeing a bunch of stuff on Twitter about it.
It's Cars. It's like, called Cars on the Road, and it's Mater and Lightning McQueen on a road trip.
Yeah. Like I retweeted somebody that was tweeting about it and they're like, do cars experience racism? I hate this world that we've created.
Well, also, Cars has like horrible, like everything in it is a stereotype, right? Because it's just making fun of all kinds of stuff. Like
the first one was legit. I will say the original Cars movie from like 15-ish years ago, solid film. That was a great movie.
Isn't like the main antagonist in one of them like a fairly adult for like the theme of the movie?
Well,
it's like a Jeep or something, I think.
Well, he's like in the first movie, it's just like the other race, one of the other race cars.
Right, it's the other race car, but in one of the other Cars movies, there's like a fairly like adult.
I've never
themed,
even seen
like,
the. I've seen the second one know. Once because that's one.
The second
F1
one's
cars.
About spies. He's like
F1 cars, under, right? Because they're in Europe.
Yeah, but it's also like it's a spy thing where he's like James Bond. And the third one he's going against.
The second one then.
The third one he's going against
he goes against like a supercar in the third
one. It's like a super electric car, like a Koenigsegg, but if it was electric.
Yeah, that's right. Like the new model of car.
Yeah, I always just love the hypothetical questions. Like in the second one, like if there's spy agencies, does that imply that there are nuclear weapons? Like
also, hang on, here's another one. Okay, so he has to train, right, to get faster and do like practice and stuff. So that implies that he can improve his performance.
Well,
of an
drivers can improve their performance.
Yes,
maybe it's
but like,
same, like his brain that's allowing him to drive gets better, more experience on the track. That's
I'll buy that. But in the third movie, he's going against an electric supercar. That it's high speed. They show on the screen is like 218 or something, and he's a gas engine car, and his top speed is like 195, and he's like, oh, I'll just train and I'll get faster. Like
just give him
straight line top
gas.
Speed. Oh yeah, great. That's it. You could just take a Pinto and give it high octane gas and double its speed.
Just give it. Just change out his headers and give him high octane gas, and he'll go 218. That's what they need to show. Like him, like this working out or training is him getting new headers and like exhaust or something. I don't know.
Yes.
New valves.
So I'm
this
reading.
Show is the.
It's Miles
show,
Axelrod.
Oh
he plants a bomb on Mater as a way to kill him.
Okay,
after
so
the tow truck discovered and started interfering with his plans to discredit alternate fuel.
he's a Land Rover defender. He's a Land Rover defender.
He's like the opposite of like an eco-terrorist, basically, is what he is.
Yeah, he's an anti-eco-terrorist.
So it sounds like there is terrorism, so that must mean that 9/11 happened. Now the real question is, were the planes the terrorists, and were there people inside the planes?
Oh my gosh,
are there people in cars? Because you know, I don't know, man. There's lots of questions being raised. Wait, I'm looking at Cars 3 and all the pictures I'm seeing are just the electric car. Where's the Land Rover? What are you talking about?
It's in 2 was the Land Rover. It's the bad guy he just mentioned.
Oh,
Axelrod or whatever.
Gotcha.
He was a Land Rover defender.
I did see Cars 2. I think I saw Cars 2 in the theater.
I mean,
but I haven't
everything's
seen any,
on Disney Plus.
Right. I haven't seen any Cars property related items since then. I mean, that was like
also,
2013, it looks like.
There are so many animated shorts. I've seen a good amount of Planes because I watched that with the kids too.
I heard
having
Planes
kids
bad.
Well, I mean, your kids are entertained
well,
by
the kids,
the strangest
yeah, sure.
things.
Right. But I'm just saying, like, Like it fell off a cliff after maybe the first two or the Cars movies. I don't know.
Yeah, that's for me, it felt like a recycle. German scientist car that it wants to kill.
Evil German scientist, eh?
Yes, an evil that German raises, scientist car
raises a lot more questions.
And he orders the death of Lightning McQueen. It's like, dude, I was like, I knew there was one of them. I was like, they have like villains in one of these movies that is like, it's like not suitable for kids, really.
An evil German car, would that mean that like Hitler was a Volkswagen Bug?
Do we assume the existence of Hitler as a car in the Cars universe?
Next week on
Multiform, a Cars podcast.
Now I'm going to track down a copy of Cars the video game from 2006 so we can review it on this show.
I just saw a screenshot of it. It does not look very good.
Yeah. Man, I have the most fun when we go off on the rails like this, but I'm sure anyone that's here just for Xbox stuff is probably like, okay, guys, reel it in.
It's all right.
I completely lost my train of thought. I was thinking something about cars.
Quick hits.
But I still want to know what part of the car is sentient, because it can't be just the windshield. And if it's not just the windshield, when they open their door, is someone inside of it? Like,
where's the
can
brain?
Can you be inside the car?
Their heart?
And how do they procreate? Like, is a car just born when...
Yeah, are they manufactured by God?
Factory?
Yeah. Every time I watch a car or something with the kids, all I can think about is all the questions that it answers, like it brings
that up. It asks and doesn't answer.
Yeah, or just like all the laws of physics that don't make sense.
Yep.
Now, do I know it's stupid and it's a kid's show and I'm being an idiot for thinking that? Yes. It's a fun exercise to mentally take yourself through trying to deconstruct the Cars universe.
This might have been in relation to that TV show launching, but Porsche made a one-off Sally in real life, like a blue 911 Carrera 2006 model or 2003, whatever she was, with the tramp stamp on the back and everything, just like Sally in the movies.
Oh,
yeah, I think it's sold at auction already for like $2.5 million or something.
I'm sure there's more than one of these, but there's a life-size Lightning McQueen at the what's the name of the automotive museum in LA that I went to 2 years ago? Game Awards last year. Yeah, the Peterson Museum. They have the Lightning McQueen in their lobby, the one that was used to promote one of the movies. It's life size, and I think it runs. I'm not sure though. They told me what kind of engine was in it, but I don't remember what it was built on. So there is at least one Lightning McQueen, but I bet it weighs a metric ton.
I wonder if they just put like a NASCAR like stock car engine in it, since he's technically supposed to be a stock car.
I think they went more like function over, like it just needed to drive for promotional purposes, and they put like a, you know, like a Chevy V8 in it or something, or like a Ford V8, something that's easy to maintain and access. Okay, quick hits. Number one, this is like a non-quick hit, but there was a white Series X shown in a Logitech commercial this week. They announced a cloud gaming streaming like handheld. It's like a Nintendo Switch, except for it's only good for streaming cloud games, which I would say is a cool idea for like $100, but it's $350. You can buy a Steam Deck or a Switch for not much more or the same price. So like that is expensive for a streaming device. But anyway, the commercial, the white Xbox, Microsoft put out a statement after people caught on to this and said the white Xbox Series X console, this is what they said to Video Game Chronicle, console for promotional video by our partners is not in production. We have no plans to release the Xbox Series X console in white at this time. So it seems like it was a one-off made just because the theme of the commercial is white. Normally, I would call BS and say, nope, this is eventually going to make it to market. But I honestly think that Xbox and PlayStation right now are not doing a bunch of custom one-off consoles so they can keep production going and keep getting these things. And anytime you split your manufacturing line to say we're going to do two different versions, that's a complexity addition that you just don't need. Right, pump these things out.
Just buy a cover for it, or like a. There's got to be some sort of adhesive thing that some third party makes that you could put on your Xbox.
I'm sure Dbrand sells Xbox Series X skins. If you haven't heard of Dbrand, they sell like sticker skins for every electronic device ever made. But also, like, why would you want a white? I guess some people do, but like the thing I hate most about my PS5 is that it's white, and everything else in my entertainment center is black. And the only reason I haven't bought the black I don't know what they call them, blades that go on the side, because you can swap those out, is because I'm not paying $50 to change the price of my or the color of my console. I can live with white if it means saving $50. Okay, rant over. Number two, quick hit, Splinter Cell Remake. Sounds like they're going to be changing the story for the new release. So there was a, normally I don't like reporting on job postings, but this one seems pretty clear cut. So someone spotted a job posting. I saw this on IGN. Using the first Splinter Cell game as our foundation, we are rewriting and updating the story for a modern audience. We want to keep the spirit and themes of the original game while exploring our characters and the world to make them more authentic and believable. And then final quick hit of the week, Tiny Tina's Wonderland seems to have been a big success because Gearbox has said that they're exceeded company's expectations, major victory, and they hinted that there will be future experiences in the works, which likely means even more DLC or a sequel. So I'm basically sick of Borderlands universe at this point. Like, I bought Borderlands 3 and never finished it, and I'm not sure that I'm ever going to get back to it. It kind of annoyed me. I liked it, but I didn't like it enough. I kind of had my fill. And then Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, I couldn't be bothered. So those are the quick hits. Splinter Cell, I do want to say on that one, I think it's good. If you're doing a remake and you're not doing a like-for-like remake where you're just going to update everything, if you're going to actually remake it, fine. Update the story. Make it feel modern. It might feel dated to have a completely new game with a story written. You know, wasn't Splinter Cell pre-9/11? I don't even know.
I think it was 2002. That's the year I'm thinking. Yeah, 2002, which is okay, a long time ago.
Yeah, but
20 years ago.
World politically, like nothing, none of the references in it probably stand up to modern world politics and world, you know, whole countries have ceased to exist in that time.
Or new countries have been created, such as South Sudan.
That is true.
So this wasn't a quick hit, but I wanted to mention how in the last week, Cyberpunk 2077 has seen a massive revival. Thanks, I think, partially to the latest patches, but then also the Edgerunners anime on Netflix that was released in the last week or two.
Oh, yeah. Good call, Spencer.
Yeah. So
I watched the first episode. How many of you watched?
I've watched the first three.
I really liked the first episode. Does it stay good?
Yeah, it's the twist is there's a really good twist at the end of the second episode that's pretty cool. I haven't seen the payoff from it yet, obviously. But yeah, no, it's crazy because this week, basically every single day, there more and more people played it on Steam. Like it broke all of its previous records, and it actually passed The Witcher 3's highest day ever on Steam. So, yeah.
What's crazy about this is CDPR has done it twice now, right? The Netflix adaptation of The Witcher made The Witcher 3 pop after being on the market for, what, 6 years, 5 years, some ridiculous amount of time, 4 years?
Yeah, 5, 6 years.
And then now they've done it with Cyberpunk, which had been, you know, a good seller, but they had struggled with the release narrative. And then the new update obviously gave some good sentiment, and then the anime even more. But
what I think this speaks to is...
The adaptations need to be good, right? The Witcher on Netflix is good, and this anime is good. But when you compare it to something like the Uncharted movie, which was okay, but it was a movie, you had to go to the theater, and two, it wasn't as accessible as like Netflix. And you know, we didn't hear stories of like Uncharted 4 suddenly selling 50,000 copies a day or whatever. Nothing like that. Of course, it is also available on PC and platforms where people can track this, although it is about to be released on PC. But this is why Sony is chasing that money, right? With all of their adaptations. This is why Halo is doing the Halo Paramount show. Like, successful adaptations only benefit both platforms, right? You're going to sell streaming to get people, and you're going to sell rights to your properties, and then you're going to sell more games because people that play that are either wanting to play the game because they're thinking about it, or new people coming in.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's the top selling game on Steam right now. Like, if you go to the Steam charts right now, it's the number one selling game, literally like 22, almost 24 months after launch, almost a full 2 years after launch. And it's the number one selling game. And it was and like I said, it passed The Witcher 3's highest day ever this week. So, yeah, I mean, it's cool to see, you know, this is a game like we talked about when we talked about the latest patch, whenever that was, 2 weeks ago, maybe, you know, this is a game that I really liked. you know, obviously it was a disappointment in a lot of ways. It was fine on, you know, Series X. It was fine on PC, but obviously people playing, you know, on older last gen consoles had a miserable time, and they really shouldn't have released it on those consoles. And there's lots of other things that we don't need to get into that they kind of under delivered on, but still it's a really solid game there. And I was really, excited to see it, you know, having some big success of late. So I still have it installed. I think I uninstalled the Master Chief Collection this week. So I think Cyberpunk's probably the oldest game I have installed right now. Well, that's, I don't know, that definitely isn't true, but, I mean, it's been installed now for almost 2 years, which, I mean,
I have games that have been installed for 6, 7, 8 years.
I guess you could say, like, the Mass Effect Legendary Edition, I have that installed. Technically, those games are much, much older, but like, it's a, technically, it's a, the release is from the last year and a half. So, yeah, I mean, it's cool, which is crazy. I mean, it's insane, actually, that it passed, that it had a, it's having its most success right now.
It also didn't hurt that it was on sale for 50% off on all platforms. True. To coincide with Edge Runner. So anybody that was interested, I actually meant to buy it on PC because now it's cross save. You can just switch back and forth.
Yeah.
I wanted to test out max settings on my PC. I forgot to buy it and the deal ended yesterday. So whoops.
Yeah. I loaded it up actually this week, I think, for a second. And that was when you're in the menus, it tells you all the new stuff that they just added with the patch. And that was, they mentioned the cross save thing. There was a couple other things I didn't bother checking out. Like, I haven't checked out to see any of the new, gigs or new missions or anything like that.
I did check out,
just climbed onto his shoulders.
I did check out the, what do they call it? Transmog, where you can make your character look. And I'm pretty sure that it doesn't include anything that you've broken down in the past, right? Like those things are retroactively unlocked.
For whatever reason, I like couldn't figure out how to do that like instantly. And so I was just like, yeah, never mind. I didn't even try. I meant to look at that.
You have to go to your wardrobe in your apartment, which is the closet.
That makes sense. Right. Yeah.
And the thing is, so like I break down stuff that I don't need. And none of the stuff I've broken down was available as like visual options. Only the stuff that was currently in my inventory. But I think that's just because it was pre-patch. I think going forward, once you grab something for the first time, you can break it down and it'll stay as a cosmetic option. But I'm not entirely sure of that. If that is not the case, I'm going to be upset because I don't want to carry stuff in my inventory just so I can look cool that has terrible stats.
Yeah.
It should unlock.
Yep.
But I don't know. Transmog has been done well and poorly in so many games. Like I haven't ever tried using it in Valhalla because I heard it was a mess. So I've just played without it.
Oh yeah. But I forgot about that. Wow.
It was good in Odyssey. Like you could just do it. Destiny 2 kind of screwed it up initially. I don't know if they've fixed it since. Like I loved it in Odyssey. I always was wearing like the cool
Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Sure.
I was wearing like the Isu armor all the time, even though I had all kinds of other stuff on for stats. I love Transmog. Nothing like looking cool. Of course, then there's the opposite end of that, which is Marvel's Avengers, where you could change all your stuff and it didn't change the look of your character at all. And the skins were just so they could milk you for money. Okay, that's it this week.
It's all about the money.
Thanks for listening. I'm Tim Shelton. You can follow me on Twitter at Tim Shelton.
And I'm Spencer Rain. You can follow me on Twitter. I don't know why you would. That makes it rain.
And I'm Gus Harden.
See you next week.
New episodes post every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. You can contact us on Twitter at MultiformPod or by email at questions@multiformpodcast.com. If you enjoyed our show and you're feeling extra generous, please share it with your friends or on social media. You can subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or anywhere you listen.